Hello and welcome to the Utah Puck Report, Season 5, Episode 2. It's only fitting to get right back into the Utah Grizzlies. And Jared Youngman, Vice President?
Vice President, yeah.
You run everything. So
yeah, I'm there.
I know. All right. Okay.
We make it work.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Vice President, you remind me a lot of myself because you wear a ton of hats.
Yeah.
And you do a ton of stuff. And I want to talk to you about all of that because you're... It's, yeah, you and I both, like, I'm a fireman, I do this, I do the movie stuff, you know, like, cinematics and movies, and it seems like every time I turn on my Facebook or Instagram, there's Jared out just
doing something.
Pounding pavement, doing something. Yeah, I love it.
You got to stay busy.
Absolutely.
I mean, right now, you sit around and do nothing, or you go out and have fun, and get to know more people, and enjoy life.
Yeah, and that's my philosophy, 100%, 100%. Okay, so, you... Vice President for the Utah Grizzlies, you guys had, like, a crazy season last year. Like, so many firsts, so many records, so many cool things happening. I saw more and more fans in the stands.
Yeah.
Had to be the first. At the beginning of the season, was it the beginning of last season that we had, because you had Jared Pike. That was the beginning of last season, right?
Mason Manek. Was 2 years
Was it 2 years ago?
I think, yeah.
All right. So, but we're seeing a... We're seeing the possibility of more Utah-born players playing for the Utah Grizzlies.
Absolutely.
And there are a couple more that are out there with Daniel Brickley and Alex Halloran, Nick Halloran.
Yeah.
Nick's out there playing. And, you know, as he's – those are really good players that would be good pickups for Utah when they're done playing at the higher leagues.
Right. I mean, obviously, you know, you know Ryan Knasevich very well.
Yeah.
He's got his finger out there. He knows what he's looking for. Obviously, when Mason was finishing up a couple of years ago, he'd worked with Mason all through the summer, and so he knows who's out there. He's he talks to people. He knows where guys are and who's going to be a good fit, and does the best he can to make it work. So.
And Mason's something I want to talk. I know there's only so many things you're allowed to talk about, but I want to talk about Mason.
Yeah,
but,
absolutely.
So tell me about from your standpoint. Last year, you're like, I got to get the advertising out. I got to get butts in seats. I need everybody to know what's going on. Did you come up with creative things to let people know that there's a bunch of locals?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a good core group of us. I mean, I wouldn't say it's just me. It's not just me. There's a team of us. I mean, Brian Pruch, is our chief marketing officer now. His brain and his mind is amazing. And the team that he and I have kind of together there of just, being creative to make things happen, to get people in, right? I mean, obviously, you're a hockey guy. You're a hockey fan.
Yeah.
And so it's important to try to get those hockey fans in, but you're also trying to just get, the everyday, mom and pops and families and businesses to come out and enjoy a time at the game. And not necessarily come because of a game, but come for other reasons, but then see how great that game is and then start wanting to come back more and more and more. So there's a lot of great ideas that have come in. We're still trying to find more ideas, to bring more people in and to make it a huge, great atmosphere that our players love to come home and play in.
Did you see a jump in sales with Mason Manek playing?
Yeah,
you did. Okay.
Yeah, no, I think anytime you have a local product that comes in, it definitely helps, right? I mean, you've got, Mason being here, playing here. His family is very well known here.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got his dad and his uncle that do a lot in the hockey community. And so there's a lot of support that way there. That is huge to see those people come out and, support. I mean, it was great for Mason. He'd always talk about the fact, and even Jared Pike now is our assistant coach, like they would come to games, they would play, the mites on ice or whatever it is at the games or play games during, on a Saturday afternoon. And like that was their dream was to put on that Grizzlies jersey and then to get that opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
Kind of a dream come true in a way. And then, you've got your fans and friends and family up in the stands that are cheering you on and having fun with it. Just makes it a whole different experience.
And a lot of parents come in and they sit and they're quiet and they just you don't even know where they're at. Maybe they'll wear their kid's jersey or whatever. But the Mannix were not that way. Their section became a party section. You always knew where they were. Sharman, Mason's mom, was extremely loud and proud and so much fun to see. Like, from, I guess I'm really biased because I've known them forever. Brandon was in my line at my wedding, and Sharman was in my wife's line and did her hair for her wedding. Right. And so maybe we're a little bit biased, but even just as a hockey fan sitting on the other side of the arena and seeing the entire Manic family, even if you didn't know them, you saw how much fun they were having and how involved
your
they were.
Your interest was piqued to know who are those people.
Yeah.
Because, they were loud and had a lot of fun. And you would see people gravitate to that, to where they're at.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you did notice that, right? Yeah,
absolutely.
Because you could always tell what section they were going to be in. They'd have, I think they'd buy 20 seats or whatever. Yeah. I know they started in suites, but then I think they liked being in the seats better. Yeah. And you'd see more and more people just want to go sit over there and be loud and have a good time.
I mean, they had their signs. I mean, they even, it was that our Monday games turned into the just another Manic Monday.
Just another Manic Monday.
With Mason out there on the ice. It was awesome. I mean, and what a great family who, love to support to make it happen.
So. Yeah, I can't say enough good things about the Manic family.
Absolutely.
So I'm just going to ask, and a lot of people don't understand. I'll kind of set it up. This was during the COVID goalie situation. The Grizzlies had zero goalies. They were calling me and my son and saying, we need somebody in town right now. Like, they were, I can't remember what town they were in. Oh, they were in, were they in Kansas City? No. When they ended up using the e-bug.
Rapid City, and it was the kid that played at GCU.
Right. They ended up using an e-bug, and he started and played the whole game.
And he won.
Yeah.
We won the game.
And, you know,
turning point.
It cheapens it for some of us. I don't know.
You were the only one that helped get that win. Now we've got another one.
Yeah, that's and he played the whole game. I only played 11 minutes.
Yeah, right.
So anyway, the Grizzlies are back up against the wall, desperate situation, desperate enough to call and offer to fly me to, out there to play.
Right.
And then Teagan, who hasn't been on the ice for 2 years but still is better than me, we all know that. Ryan's like, can Teagan come out right now? Like, we'll fly you guys out right now. And I'm like, Teagan, you want to go play pro? And he's like, no. Like, that sounds terrifying to go jump in the net. I haven't been on the ice in 2 years, but Kanasevich knows him. So they make a trade, an open-ended player-to-be-named-later trade for a goalie who comes in, tests positive for COVID, can't play. I don't even think he ended up playing.
Oh.
And so we got nothing in the deal. Summer comes. Player to be named later becomes Mason Manic. And I on my end, as just the media guy, I didn't know about the trade at first, but I started getting angry texts or messages or through the Utah Puck Report Facebook page. My instant messenger just lit up. People already saw it on Elite Prospects or whatever. Why would the Grizzlies trade? I'm like, this is not their idea, I guarantee it.
Right. No, and it's not. I mean, end of the day, with our league, you'll always have what we call future considerations.
Yep.
Right. And so you get the trade, you get the player you have, and then that team, the opposing team, has a deadline, right? Sometimes it's before this, the trade deadline, or it's after the season for the next season. And so we had this future considerations trade. Now, each one of those, Ryan had an opportunity to hold so many players back, right? So then they can't take those.
Right.
And I think with Mason's situation, and I mean, what I understand with his situation was after playing juniors, there was some scholarship money for him to go to school.
Yep.
And, he was looking at that and toying with what was going on. I don't think, we didn't know where he was going, what he was going to do. Ryan has said, if he would have known that that's where since he was looking, then, he changes things up a little bit and we keep Mason as a non-traded player. Well, unfortunately, they went that way.
Yeah.
You know, so Mason's rights are in Cincy. My understanding is I don't think he's going. I think he's just going to go to school, right?
He's definitely not going. So it basically, I don't know. I guess I can just say everything. Like, obviously, I know. I mean, right? His mom was at our house yesterday cutting our hair. And
Looks good, by the way.
Thanks, man. It's just the, my hair is the easiest haircut. You know, I went.
She didn't touch the mustache, though, I can tell.
Nobody's touching the mustache. I don't know why I grew this thing out, but I'm sticking with it.
Yeah, you have to.
I get nonstop crap for it, too. Everywhere we go, people see it. Usually, every once in a while, it's a nice thing about it, but a lot of times it's not so nice.
Yeah.
But anyway, Mason, I think that was a career ender for him, which is weird to me because I completely understand what Cincinnati was thinking, because if you look at who Colorado had protected and you look at who was protected from you have Mason Manek at 58 points.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's really good. And what did he play? 70 games?
He played every game except one playoff game.
Okay. I remember he got sat for a playoff game. Anyway, I would take him too. Right, like if I was coaching and I saw a little spark plug player like that played in the dub, that's who I would take too.
Right.
Because you know, one, he's going to work hard every night, and then two, he's going to be a fan favorite, and three, he's going to put points on the board.
Right.
If even if it's just a half a point a game, he's better than that. But if you could get a half a point a game out of a minimum wage player, you'd take that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and he's great enough. And obviously you do know. I mean, technically, if Cincy doesn't hold on to his rights for
It's 3 years.
Next season.
No, it's 3 years in the East Coast League.
No.
I think it is. No. If you don't re-sign, I think it's 3 years.
They have to re-hold his rights again.
Yeah. Right? Well, they could keep him for 3 years.
If they don't hold his rights.
Yeah. Which they shouldn't. He could.
Then he potentially, if they don't hold his rights for those next years and they just let him go, then he could come back and play here next season.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's a lot of ins and outs that goes with it, but there is a good chance. I mean, if Mason wanted to continue to play, could make it work. Ryan wants to trade and get him back. I mean, that's always a possibility, too.
Yeah, I was really hoping you just go out and find a player, sign him, and trade him, because that's what I would have done. Because you know, and this doesn't happen very often, and this is what blows people's minds when I tell them, is that there are a lot of guys out here that can make more money not playing for the Grizzlies. Everybody just thinks, oh, you're a pro hockey player.
Right.
That must be nice to, you know, drive your Maserati into the Maverick Center
every night or whatever. Not ECHL.
Right. So Mason has the opportunity. One, well, everybody that plays in, like most Americans that play in Canadian Major Juniors give up NCAA eligibility. So to compete with that, Canadian Major Juniors came up with their scholarship program. This was years ago.
Right.
So you get 1 year of school up to whatever amount of money for every year that you play for them. And then you have 18 months from the time you stop playing to start using that money.
Right.
So most of the time, and I see it all the time, because it's funny, when I walk into the Grizzlies locker room, they find out I'm a fireman. They're all like, hey, I'm taking online firefighter classes. How do I get hired in Utah? You know, and it's, you know, Canadians that probably couldn't get hired here just because of all the hoops to jump through or whatever. But anyway, so they can use that. So Mason can play, and he could have gone to Cincinnati and started school online at the U or whatever, especially since COVID. Everything's online anyway. So I think the potential's there, but I think Mason was upset. He was completely honest with the Cincy coach. He's like, I'm not going to come to Cincinnati.
Right.
Just got married. He has the ability to walk into his dad's business and take over.
Well, and he's got his own little business,
We should pump that, too. Buck Tough. Thanks, Tough. Steven.
Yeah.
I was going to say the wrong.
Yeah, Buck.
I was going to say the other one.
Buck Down? Buck Tough. Yeah.
Buck Tough. And I've actually bought, he's got the cool little light that I actually bought for my fire helmet.
Right.
I don't hunt, but I do use flashlights.
Right.
I mean, he's an active kid, and it just sucks because I know from a fan standpoint and from a proud friend of the family standpoint, it was so much fun to see him play, and he's so electric out there.
Oh, I love watching
him
play.
I had the opportunity to play at Shattuck St. Mary for a year, and the coach I played for, like Jean-Paul Parisi, he instilled in me is that you can't get outworked. I don't care if you understand the game, I don't care if you can turn left, but you better not get outworked on the ice. Yeah. And Mason Manek would fit that every night.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, you watch what he does. You know, he's in early. He's always working out. He's doing it. And, you know, I mean, for his size.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not afraid to make things happen. If he's got to go out and hit somebody and go to the corners, he's going to do it.
And here's the other thing that people don't understand. And Mason is loved by the Colorado franchise. Joe Sakic, Adam Foote, he played for those guys. He's lived with those guys. They love him. Right. And I think he really had, if he stayed in this organization, I think he had a chance to get that call up to the A.
Yeah.
I think they really wanted to give him a look. Towards the end of the season, I was making phone calls to other AHL teams saying, why don't you grab Mason and take a look at him?
Help him out.
And they said, yeah, if he puts up similar numbers, you know, it's Riley, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Colin Riley, who's coach, used to be with the Grizzlies, Riley Armstrong.
Yep.
And I was talking to Riley, and I'm like, why isn't he getting pulled up? There are other 5'9" players playing in the A, and they're not putting up the kind of numbers he's putting up.
Yeah.
And Riley was like, look, I've got a ton of Philadelphia Flyers that I got to look at, but if he puts up the same kind of numbers that next year is not a rookie, he says, it's hard for me to look at a rookie, but if I'm looking at a second year or a third year guy that's still doing it, I'll pull him up in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
So it just sucks to see that go away.
Well, I mean, again, the hope is he comes back. I mean, obviously, Mason has known Ryan for years. Ryan's been very, the communication is not, it's there, 100%.
Yep.
They're honest with each other on what's going on and what's happening. You know, I mean, the fans are upset. Well, Ryan's not happy.
Right.
As an organization, I think fans look at things, and we as sports people, we don't always know really what's behind trades. We don't know what are we thinking, and why would Coach Canass would you do something like that? Well, there's a lot that goes into it that becomes that fact of this is what's going on. And between, Ryan and Mason and Mason's family, there was the communication to say, hey, here's what's going on. And, Ryan was not, Ryan was sad about the situation because, he knew what Mason had 3-4 years ago when Mason was here for the summer and he was training with Ryan on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
And so I think the communication was there, and unfortunately it is what it is. And we had a trade, I believe, was with Dylan Fitz at the trade deadline. We lost a guy that the fans really loved.
Yeah.
Fitzy comes in, and all of a sudden, he's the spark of energy. And, I had fans asking me, well, why would he do that? And I'm like, just give it some time.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden now it's just like, oh, that was the best trade we made all year. And you're like, you think?
Yeah. Sometimes we know what we're doing.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
And fans don't understand that. But that's one thing I wanted to convey is that you can't always control it. And the Grizzlies were upset. They didn't want to trade Mason.
Right.
And so there's that. And then there's the other part that sometimes it really does work out better for the team. You don't know what's coming in. I just listened to Wayne Gretzky talk about a trade. He was talking about trades at the deadline yesterday. And he was talking about how they had to give up their third center. Because they had him and they had Messier and they had the third center. Gretzky's like, this is the best third center I've ever played with.
Right.
And Edmonton traded him. And I'm like, why would you do that? I cannot believe you would do that. And then they ended up bringing in a guy like Esa Tikkanen, who ends up being like a key part.
Right.
And he has nothing to do with the actual hockey play.
Right.
But he turns every game with his physical play or his attitude or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just like, even at Wayne Gretzky's level, who nobody questions that, right? You're like,
right.
When Wayne Gretzky says something, you're like, that's gospel.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So it's interesting. You just don't see that. So as we're talking about like stuff that fans don't know and that fans maybe don't understand, I want to talk. You and I had probably one of the best episodes we've had on the show because we actually really dove into what fans were saying, because you have, and I still read all the boards. Maybe you don't. I know. You do. Right?
I read them. Yeah. I don't. I won't comment on boards.
Yeah.
End of the day, there's things that are there. I'm happy to discuss if need be, but
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, the boards is something the fans want to hear it, and
well, and then
Yuri didn't go with it.
Every year, the NHL game comes now.
Yeah.
And every year, and I'm guilty of it because I wrote a similar article.
I read it. I read it.
But I would like to think that mine was a little more fair.
No, absolutely. I'm just kidding.
Well, first off, I'm not a journalist. I don't know why they keep letting me write things. That's why I have writers now.
Yeah,
kind of.
You've moved up.
I just have delegated. I don't know that I've moved up at all, but I'm delegating. But I wrote an article about is Utah ready for the NHL? Is Utah ready for the AHL? I guarantee that we're ready for the AHL, especially with it all being in the West Coast.
Yeah.
The cards have to be right. And the fans keep saying whatever, and you and I have battled that before, and I'm probably guilty of being frustrated at times with not being in the AA, but then you read some of the stuff that comes across from some of the fans, if you will, or some of the people. You have people that refuse to be fans.
Right. They just want to comment.
Yeah, and I don't get it. There was one comment on that talking about the NHL that the Grizzlies are one step above high school. And I'm like, what high school? Like, because these kids have played. They were the top in their high school. Not in Utah, in Minnesota, in Calgary. You know, these kids, if they played high school at all, they usually just went straight to AAA or Junior A.
Right.
And then these kids all played in the USHL, or they played the Canadian Major Juniors. Right. And then they all played NCAA. So you are getting top-tier players. I'll go to a Grizzlies game and watch. I mean, granted, it's not the NHL, but nothing is. Oh. I mean, Real Salt Lake sells out most of their games, and they're like Tier 5 soccer.
Right.
It's when you watch the difference, the top's going to be unreal. But you can still go to a Grizzlies game and be blown away by the talent and the experience these kids have playing. I mean, you've got, I can't remember the kid's name from Michigan.
Which one?
Raby. Raby.
Yeah.
I really didn't think that's how you'd pronounce it. But anyway, you have players like that I watched play in college that you're like, that kid's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And you have him come out here, you have, The kid out of Arizona State, Johnny Walker. Speaking of my shot glass in my backpack.
Johnny Walker.
So you have Johnny Walker out there who set all their records.
Right.
So when you talk about things that fans don't know, fans are really losing sight. They're not even the fans. I guess they're the detractors.
Right.
What would you want to say to these guys about the product you guys are putting on the ice this year and what you had last year?
The biggest thing that I look at with it, and we've talked about the whole high school stuff, right? And we're one. This level of hockey, it's not the NHL. We agree. It's not necessarily the American Hockey League, which we all agree. But these guys come in, game in and game out, and make things work. I mean, you want to question what this season is going to bring? Look at last year. You've got a first-year head coach who got the job in September, weeks before training camp. Goes in, puts together a team, wins the division. We get into the playoffs with a very young rookie team, and we get to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
I mean, Ryan Kanasevich knows what he's doing. These players know what they're doing. And to me, you know, you're going to see a great hockey team on that ice.
I agree.
I mean, from the defense, I mean, Ryan likes to start on that, you know, from the blue line and move forward. But the training camp is looking really, really good. We have the most players that have ever returned to us. It's happened this year. We've got, you know, some great things going on with, you know, with what Ryan's doing. And now Jared Pike is our assistant coach. I mean, they're in there working hard. You're going to see another strong team. You're going to see another team that I believe will contend again for the Kelly Cup. You know, hopefully the hope is that 2 years in a row we get that division championship.
Yeah.
And we make it work. But I think for these people, end of the day, you know, being in this business for 20 plus years, I mean, I can speak as long as I'm blue in the face. You can talk as, you know, as much as you want. And the fans that love this team and love the sport, you know, you can only say so much. I mean, nothing to go against. I mean, high school, you know, sports. My kid, you know, he didn't play high school this year, but he could have. You know, you've got the other, you know, teams with the Outliers and the Mustangs and the Provo team. And, I mean, you've got those. Yeah, they're great. But, you know, this team is what it is. This is still a professional team.
Yeah.
That's there.
You are,
and
the
you're going to come
for the Colorado Avalanche.
Right.
Like, you have players that are drafted. You have players that are going to go up to the
yeah.
A.
Yeah.
Like Dastu last year.
Yeah.
What an amazing player to watch. If yeah. you didn't go to a game last year and watch him or Trent Miner and yeah. see the things that those two were pulling off last yeah. year, that's, I mean, yeah, those guys, those are NHL caliber guys
100%.
Eventually.
Yeah. Well, and I think at the end of the day, it's just, you know, you come and support.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're going to have the people that, you know, it is what it is. And we looked at the A. I mean, for the longest time, the Vegas Golden Knights were talking Salt Lake City. Well, the landscape of the American Hockey League has changed. You're getting a lot more of these NHL teams are trying to put their American Hockey League team close enough that yeah. they can drive to it. They can get a quick flight, or, you know, and that's what Vegas chose to do.
Yep.
And that's what we go through and, hey, look, you know, would the American Hockey League be great? Yeah, it would be. But I'll tell you this, go back and look at the Utah Grizzlies records, win-loss percentages and all that stuff from the American Hockey League to the ECHL. And winning percentage is much greater in the ECHL than it was in the American Hockey League. Us going to the playoffs, us getting deeper in the playoffs, is greater where we are sitting right now than we were in the A. Yep. Now, what did you have in the A that we don't have now? We don't have the Trevor Daley.
Yeah.
The, you
first
know,
round draft picks.
Those first round draft picks, yeah. the John Erskines, the Steve Gainey's, Mike Smith, that yeah. it's all of a sudden it's like, you know, tonight we see him here at the Maverick Center, and tomorrow we're going to tune in and watch on NHL, and we're going to see him there. That's what we're losing, or that's what we're missing with the league that we're in. But I can tell you, these players, they care. They want to get out. They want to perform to make it work. And so I think for us, end of the day, it's like, come and enjoy it. And if you don't, okay.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe hockey's not your thing.
If hockey's not your thing, that's fine too.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't, I honestly believe if you don't enjoy a Grizzlies game, then maybe you just don't understand hockey.
Well, and it's hard because you get a lot of people that, I mean, you know, they grew up with all, you know, they grew up with the Golden Eagles,
yeah.
right? And yeah, that was great hockey.
And
you grow up with
was.
That.
Yeah, for sure it was.
But I think sometimes too, it's that age group of where it is, right? I mean, mm-hmm. you've got, you know, Teagan, who's now what, 24?
Yep.
He grew up coming to the American Hockey League Grizzlies games,
yeah.
right?
Yep.
And now that he's older, his life is different. You know, I mean, you get these people that I've talked to, a lot of these fans, and as they were growing up with the Golden Eagles, they were younger. They were the same age or close to the same age of those players.
Right,
they
right.
were doing things.
Yeah.
They could, you know, they could go to, you know, the bars or go hang out, and it was fine. Well, now they're all older. And so now it's these younger generation kids. I mean, I've got, you know, my oldest is 14, and I got a 12 and a 10. Well, they're idolizing these kids that are on the ice now.
Yeah.
But give it 10, 15 years, guess what? It's going to be different for them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so you get That's these people that it's just like, oh, it was, you know, I love the Golden Eagles. Well, yeah, because at that time you could relate to those guys. You could look up to them, and it was like, oh, we're the same age. And now all of a sudden,
right.
you know, you could be these guys' grandpa.
Yeah.
You know, or their dad.
And it's weird. And it's weird looking at when I watch the NHL and I'm like, God, look at that kid.
Yeah.
They're just kids. And when you were younger, you're like, man, those guys knew everything.
Right.
You thought they were the oldest. You thought they were, you know, and they're just kids figuring it out right. too. Like,
I mean, the guys we were watching in the NHL, yeah. now you're watching their kids.
Yep.
And you're thinking, holy heavens.
Well, and how many times as an e-bug, we've had guys come through that I e-bugged with before. So, like, I'm trying to remember who, but guys would come through and I e-bugged with their dads.
Yeah.
And now they're coming through as pro players too.
Right.
And
yeah. Life brings it. I mean, every yeah. year, I mean, every 5 years, our life changes.
Yeah.
And so to me, it's like, look, you know, come and have fun.
Yep.
I mean, to me, it's the big thing is just like, look, hockey is a great sport. We love hockey. But you know something? With all the crap in the world going on, make that your escape
yeah.
to get out of life and come to a game and, you know, enjoy it. I mean, for me, you know, we're going nuts and crazy, but I can tell you next Friday, I'm going to sit back and I'm going to just take a deep breath. I'm going to enjoy a hockey game.
Yeah, that's
what
I love.
And that's where these people are. It's like, just come and enjoy. Come support the team. You know something? If we suck that night, great. I mean, one of the worst things that happened last year that we all talk about, I mean, Ryan and I were talking about it this last week. You know, game was our game three.
Oh, right. Yeah.
We were up 4-0.
Yeah.
And you know something? I get it. Everybody was upset.
Yeah.
I mean, I was upset. I don't like us losing. I have no say in losing and winning on the ice.
Yeah.
Up 4-0, and then we lose, and it's just like, oh, this, you know. And then it's like, okay, well, now we're down, and you start thinking, okay, if we win tomorrow, then we got to go back, and we have to win 2 in a row in Toledo. And you're like, oh, I don't know if that's going to happen. And so it's just, look, yeah, it happens. I mean, You tell me anybody that's gone to work or had something in their life that they were perfect for the whole time. Right. But yet we look at this sport and we're like, they were up 4-0 and they suck. And it's like, well, yeah, it wasn't great. And there were some different factors, you know, Trent Minor situation of going up and down.
Right.
You know, you look at, I mean, to me, you know, Garrett Metcalf, if he's healthy and we have him in net.
Yeah.
I think we got a different game.
There's lots of ins and outs. And that's part of the fun part. Well, and another part that I think the fans don't understand is it's such a blessing to have the Avalanche above us. And sometimes, you know, your job, Ryan's job, is to get all these players ready
for the next level.
Yeah. And if the next level needs a win or needs a player, it'll come at the expense of the Grizzlies. But that's why they have the Grizzlies. Right. But it also gives another person a chance to prove they belong or to step up.
Right.
And it doesn't matter what level you're at. Teams are going to fall apart.
And they will. But go back to Rapid City. And Ryan even said it himself. The Rapid City game where we were struggling to find a goalie.
Yeah.
And we go to get a GCU, Grand Canyon University
Not
goalie.
Even their top team.
Right.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, he's home for Christmas. I don't even think he wore his gear. They found gear from somebody that he wore. Right, that was, and Ryan will say it, that was a turning point that he believed was there. That turned kind of the page for our team to realize, okay, this is what's going on. And so those are the things that it's just like, you know, you come experience, you come and have fun, you know, you enjoy the game. I mean, that was my biggest thing, especially coming off of COVID, right? I mean, COVID, it was like we could have 1,800 people in the building. They all had to sit 6 feet away, and it was fun, but to me, it's about seeing the fans walk in the building. It's about, you know, the relationships of seeing people and being like, oh, it's so great to see you. And you can actually go back and, you know, give a bit of a hug or a high five. And, you know, I mean, we've got, you know, Gene Butler, who sits in 113. You know, he's got his, there's a whole group of people that sit there now, and there's more people wanting to sit by them. But we score a goal, and that crazy guy, he's up off his seat, he's running down the aisles, he's running across seats, he's jumping seats, high-fiving everybody, you know, giving experiences to people.
Yeah.
I mean, out of his own pocket, he goes and buys hundreds of little kids' Grizzly shirts. And as he's walking the concourse or he's watching the game, he sees some kid having fun. He gets up, he walks over and tosses a kid a freaking shirt, man. You know, but that's the guy that you're like, dude, keep coming, man. We love having him because to him, he loves the team, he loves the game, but it's all about experiences
right.
to make it work. So they should just come to the game. I mean, if they don't, it's fine. I mean,
well, when's the last?
We'll miss you, but, you know, I'm not going to make the choice for you.
Well, and those guys that are complaining about whatever, wins, losses, being an affiliate, whatever. We're not going to go to the AHL if
not currently.
Yeah, and if more fans start coming out and there's more interest and maybe another NHL team looks at it and says, because I think the only one that doesn't have their affiliate all locked up nowadays is Calgary. I think so. So anyway,
I mean, you look at them. Let's talk affiliate for a minute. We've had a lot of affiliates with the Grizzlies.
Yeah,
and I will tell you, in my opinion, Colorado is that I mean, they care. They show they care. If you go back and look at other teams and see how many players they're sending down, and you look what Colorado does for us, they care. And, you know, and I think with the A, things will change. But you know something? It's not like you can just go and buy an American Hockey League franchise and then put a team to put together.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's things that go into making it happen. So there are some teams. I mean, you've got, you know, San Jose. Their team plays in the same barn with them, and they're all right there. And, you know, you've got some Canada teams, the same situation. So I wouldn't say it's out of the picture, but I think people don't think that we care. The ownership cares.
Yeah.
And that's false. They do care, but it's got to be the right fit at the right time to make things happen.
Right.
So could it happen? It could. Will it happen? I don't know. End of the day, for me, it's about what's going on right here, right now, or taking care of things.
And I thought we'd address that before, and every time I see somebody post about it, I just send them a link to that podcast
where
we talked about all that. Just like, hey, we've already talked about all this stuff, and everything you're saying is not true or misrepresented. So, like, here's the actual fact on this interview. So I always just, I don't even say anything. I'll just post that link.
Post on there and hopefully listen to it.
Anyway, I think you said it exactly how I'd want to say it, is that this is an experience, and this is fun, and it's an escape. And, God, we've been through so much over the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. And last year was amazing for us as fans. It was just so much fun to see the Grizzlies and see all that talent. And I can't wait to see what happens this year. But whatever happens this year, even, God, if you go 0 for 80 or whatever, which would be frustrating, but
let's not do that. I might need that shot glass.
But you would still have the ability to get out of the house, the ability to be by other people, and something that we haven't had for 2 years. We went to Thriller last night, and I was like, one, it's their last season, so everybody's there. Two, I'm like, man, I've been coming here for like 15 years, and
it's the same thing every year.
It is the same thing
every year. Imagine that. Hockey's a little bit different.
But I've always been able to just sit down and have the whole row around me and next to me and in front of me, so I could sit my feet, because the seats are small.
Right.
So I could sit my feet over the seat in front of me, and now it's like packed in.
Yeah.
And normally, I'd be like, oh, there's too many people. And I'm like, man, it's not. Although the person behind us that had bronchitis or whatever probably shouldn't have been there. But it was so nice to be around people again.
Yeah.
And that was when we were supposed to sit there and be quiet. The Grizzlies are an opportunity to get out, be around people, be loud, be obnoxious.
You can yell and scream.
Watch amazing hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I know, so today's Friday, and we're kicking off the season. Preseason starts tonight.
Yeah, the team buses out here in about, hour and 15 minutes? So
nice.
Bus up to Idaho.
Game tomorrow, and then the regular season starts
next Friday, week from tonight.
Yeah.
So we got a Friday Saturday set, and for the first time in years, we're not playing Idaho for opening weekend after playing them preseason the week before. So
yeah. Who's in town?
Rapid City's coming.
Rapid
in.
City.
So
nice. They're a fun team. A lot of heat there.
Yeah.
So. Well, perfect. Well, I think we've covered everything. I just really wanted to touch base and see how things were going and catch up on last season. We talked about the locals that are in the lineup. I mean, we have not really talked about Garrett being one of two right now, right? Yeah. I don't know what's going on up above us. I saw Colorado just picked up a goalie off waivers.
Minor, we may see Minor back, which, you know.
Good for us, bad for him.
Yeah.
He deserves.
He deserves it, and I think he'll get a chance, right? Yeah. I mean, for me, just more from the local standpoint and knowing the Metcalf family, you know, I just want Garrett to get a chance, right? And he had a chance last year. I mean, right before he got hurt, Vegas called him to go play down there with the Silver Knights, and he was injured. So he lost that opportunity. And then talking to Steve, you know, during the summer, that the guy they pulled down after Garrett said he couldn't, they signed him.
Yeah.
So if Garrett would have been healthy,
yeah,
you would see Garrett probably down in with the Vegas team. But I think Garrett's a phenomenal goalie. And I think as teams start seeing him perform, you probably don't see Garrett Metcalf in a Grizzlies uniform halfway through the year, maybe. Who knows?
You know, we had him on the show last year when he was up in Lehigh, and we talked about, just timing.
Yeah.
And how it was such a fluke. He got up, and man, he played three games right away and played awesome, and then tested positive.
Yeah.
For COVID.
Yeah.
And it just is like, man, so frustrating. And then the labrum tear in his hip, which he's fixed now, and he says he's healthier than he's ever been.
He's looking really good. Yeah. So I think he probably gets a start either tonight in Idaho, or he gets it tomorrow night in Ogden. I think you see him get one of the starts for sure.
Well, that's exciting though, because I mean he's another a real true Utah product that stayed here until he was 15. Came to my camp when he was a little kid for years and years and years. His dad reffed, in the A and in the I, his dad's been around forever and coaching and helping and giving back. And so it's exciting. Like I really look forward to the opportunity to see, because he really controls the game well. I go and I mostly watch goalies, right?
Well, you're a goalie. That's right. What's going to happen.
Yeah, and I really enjoy watching what these guys can do. And Garrett, just the way he just is in control of the game at a higher level. You see a lot of guys, like if you got to see the 11 minutes I played, which was phenomenal. But
I was a little bit nervous.
I was a little bit nervous as well. Honestly, people asked me about it. I wasn't as nervous as I probably put on, because I had nothing to lose.
Yeah.
I could have given up five and people have been like, oh, well, I gave up five, but I got to play, whatever. But I mean, every article is like 43-year-old, whatever, they could have just said, Jay, they didn't have to say how old I was. But anyway, like you see goalies that come in and they're like, okay, I made this save, now I got to scramble to get to this save. Garrett's already processed all that.
Yes.
Garrett knows he's got really good rebound control. If he gives up a rebound here, usually already knows where it's going to go.
Right.
I just think his mind game is next level.
100%.
And he's so big.
And he's put a lot, he puts a lot of time into, watching film and really understanding, like he's a true student of goaltending, of making sure it's the angles and how to move, and it's not always about moving, it's about moving at the right time into the right spot, compared to just I got to move from post to post.
They really have taken it to the next level with what they do with that. And anyway, and you can see it. You can see it all. You can see these guys that put in so much time and effort and work and have played and have been drafted and are really talented players, and they're playing right here in Utah for the Grizzlies. And we're lucky to have a couple locals on the team.
Absolutely.
But most local people here would never, I don't care if you played at Weber State or if you played for the Outliers, it's 1% that make it to the pros.
Right.
Right, that's a huge difference, and people just need to understand that. And I'm not saying anything negative about the other teams.
No, it's
because I'm going to go to Outliers games. I'm going to go to Ogden Mustangs games.
Well, and talk about a huge, rivalry. I mean, the Mustangs and the Outliers. I mean, that's a rivalry there.
Yeah.
And those kids, they are fun to watch. You love people. Oh, they're just. Like they're fighting for it more. And at times they probably are, but they're great games to watch. I mean, to me, I think it's about supporting all of hockey. For us as an organization, it's not about just going and, hey, everybody come to us. It's about go support everybody else. I mean, the Mustangs, I've taken my kids to Mustangs games. I've taken them. They've watched the Outliers, and my kids have gear that's not just Grizzlies gear. But I think as we go and we support the sport of hockey, that's what's going to make things happen. For me, it's about trying to find, who's the next kid that I can talk their parents into getting that kid dressed up in hockey gear and having them playing. And if we support hockey, support the Grizzlies, go support University of Utah. Go support UVU, Weber State, Utah State. Support the Outliers and Mustangs. Go watch these little kids play. I mean, I've got it this Saturday. I'm way excited. I have my daughter's got a practice at 7:45. Then she's got a game at, I think, 11. Then she's got another one at 4. And then the Grizzlies play at 7 o'clock. So I know where I'm going to be on Saturday. I'll be at a hockey rink all day long. But if we go and we support – the sport that we all love, then it's going to get better.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, and that's what it's about. It's go have fun, enjoy it, support, you know, whatever it is.
Yep. Enjoy it while it lasts too, yeah, with being there all day, because all of a sudden they age out and you're like, what do I do all day Saturday?
Yeah, I was talking to somebody, who was it? And they were just like, it's nuts. Like, I remember going, you know, you were obviously there with Tegan, right? I mean, you're always going somewhere and, you know, it's all of a sudden now you're like, oh, I kind of have a free weekend. You know, I mean, I bought
a movie pass.
Yeah.
Go to a bunch of movies all of a sudden. And I had two kids playing sports both year round.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they're both gone and I was like, huh.
What do you do now?
Reintroduce myself to my wife. Yeah. Get to, you know.
Well, and it's crazy. To the gym, I mean, I've talked to a few people trying to get their kids to play, and hockey's one of those that we call it rec, which it is rec.
Yeah.
But we're traveling, you know. My kid played at Davis County. We had to travel to Vernal for a game.
Oh yeah.
So hockey is a little bit different that way there. But you know, you go and support and you have fun. And I mean, I've got, you know, my daughter's in Colorado next weekend for a Lady Grizz games, and the following weekend I've got Cooper down. We're going down to Vegas, and
Awesome.
We're all over the place, but I wouldn't change it for the world. I mean, this sport is one that I didn't grow up playing hockey. You know, I remember as a kid going to a few Golden Eagles games, but I tell you, hockey's changed my life, and there's nothing better than it. And I love watching the kids and everybody else get into it and have fun and experience it.
Yeah, I agree. And hockey changed my life as well. I can't express that enough.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I would have done otherwise. Anyway, Jared, it's amazing having you. You brought up the University of Utah. For those listening, we have a huge announcement coming up next week about KSL and the University of Utah hockey programs. So we're excited to talk about that. I can't say too much about it, but I pretty much said everything there is to say right there, if you figure, read between the lines.
It might be hard for people.
It might be hard for some of the people. But anyway, it's amazing. We're looking forward to it. And I know we're going to have the plan from here on out is we're going to have Ryan in probably every other week. Ryan and Jared, coaches.
Coach Pike.
Man, I've known him since he's a little kid, too. But it'll be fun to have them in and catch up, and I hope you come back and talk to us and share how things are going on your end.
Absolutely.
Because it's good to get both ends and see. Like, we could talk about the players and whatever with the coaches all the time, but I like to hear about the back end of stuff, too, and how things are going and what we can do to help support the game we love. Yeah. And thanks for your insight on all that.
Absolutely. John, I'll give you a little plug.
All right.
But I can't say too much either. But if you come to the games next weekend, there's some big changes that are in the works happening at the Maverick Center that people have been talking about for years. So
okay, and I think I know what it is. I can't say it.
If you read between the lines, you probably understand it. But we'll let people come and experience it to see. It's gonna change the experience 100%.
Well, I'm excited. I'm excited. I love it. I love it. All right. Well, Jared, thanks for everything.
Thank you.
We'll be back with, like I said, we've got University of Utah coming up. We've got the coaches coming up. We've got a lot of fun episodes coming up this season. So until then, we'll see you on the Utah Puck Report.